This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Curry steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point.
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus.
Hello and welcome to a Game 7 edition of the Warriors plus minus podcast. Tim Kyle, call me with me. Marcus Thompson will be here shortly. It was a victorious Game 7 for the Warriors. Third straight time in a series with the Houston. They close them out here. Game 7, Game 6, and Game 7. 5-0 in the Curry era in Houston playoff series. I don't know. Like, did you think they were going to win?
Yeah, I did. I thought that. I talked to a member of an organization that shoot around. And he wasn't saying we for sure going to win. He said, but we got Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green. You got to feel pretty good about that. And I thought, you do have those three guys. Who am I going to bet on in a Game 7 with tension? You know, there wasn't tension here for Game 5, but figured the Warriors would play better than that. And then once you get a lead, then the other team's going to start to feel it. And I think the Rockets, except for Amen Thompson, who played incredibly, they started to feel it. They absolutely did. Warriors fought battle. Thompsons are amazing, except for the one who
That's
just sat down.
Baby, the Thompsons.
And I did think they were going to win this game. I didn't think Steph was going to score only 3 points in the first half, and they had to lead by 10. But
pretty much zero, by the way. Yeah. I was even like crafting, something up where
final
I was like
30
scoreless.
Seconds, like final 35. It was 2-for-1. He made the shot. Once that happened, I was pretty sure they were going to win. That Steph scored 3 points to lead at halftime, and that he was going to score more. They were going to play better. Their defense was tremendous. I did think they wasn't sure of it, but I thought they had the best three players. And if you got the best three players, and Draymond, I didn't know that he was going to pick it up like this. We didn't know. We'll talk about the speech he gave last night, the accountability he took. But if Draymond's going to play like this, I'm going to keep picking him to win a Game 7.
I mean, obviously his defense was key to their defense, which, Rockets got 89 points, and apparently Steph and Draymond had discussed holding them under 90 as a key number, and we're kind of celebrating that exact number post-game. 85 is what Houston scored in Game 1. But I thought Draymond's offense was more important. What did he finish scoring-wise tonight?
He finished with 16 points, yeah.
He, 7 for
50, took 15 shots.
He hadn't scored double digits in a series. This is one of probably, you would say, the worst offensive series of his career leading up to
Oklahoma
this moment.
City, the 7-game series against Oklahoma City was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That was another I would compare those two.
Yeah, and as the Warriors move on in these playoffs, I think Minnesota, for example, is going to look at some of what Houston did defensively and deploy it. And part of what Houston did was Van Vliet on Draymond, get him out of the action. I think his lack of activity offensively frustrated him. But tonight, like I said, 16, I don't know. What was the story to you tonight?
I'm writing Buddy Hield. I mean, the story was who else was going to step up, right? Like, that was a big deal. Like, who could really produce in a way that hurts the Rockets, because that's what they were banking on not happening. And, you know, Pods, 1-for-7, 4-for-12. Moody's 5 shots. They didn't like
hit the rim.
They didn't look good. You know, JK didn't look good coming in. So it was like, who is going to be this person? Like, who's going to help? And it ended up being Buddy, like, who just went crazy. So to me, that's the story. But the bigger one is the defense. Like, defensively, they were just – they matched up. They did, like, a matchup zone, and they just decided no threes, and we'll zone up on the interior and just – Shangoon, you got to get 40 on Draymond. Like, and they're fine with that matchup every time. But after game 6, Draymond looked so tired in the locker room. Like, he, you know, they had just done the double bigs for like a 24 minutes. And I was like, dude, like how you got left for game 7? He was like, I don't know. I'm going to find something, though.
Well, part of his explanation of like his mood change between game 6 and 7 is he was saying he was like going to the arena listening to like, you know, headbanger type, like, you know, amp up music in game 6. Obviously, he gets the flagrant early on that I thought I was surprised at how much they felt like that was such a factor. I mean, obviously, you didn't want him to get the flagrant if you're the Warriors, but, you know, it didn't like the collapse came long after. But anyways, they acted like that was such a big thing. He changed it. He said he was like calm and listening to, you know, ease music and meditating and all that. And I mean, you saw it tonight. I don't know. I don't like who. What's the story to you?
Yeah, I think the defense is a story to me. I think it's Buddy's a big story. But I what I'm writing about is like this is they might not win a championship. We shall see. But this is what the dynasty is. Now they've added Jimmy Butler to it, but it's just like, okay, screw it up a little bit. Bad game 6, horrendous game 5. They still have the confidence that they're going to win game 7 on the road. They piece it together. Draymond takes accountability. Steve Kerr takes accountability for game 6. Steph figures it out. Butler adds a new dimension to it, and they just drag everybody else. And, you know, I just think
even Kevon Looney peppered in there. Kevon I thought Looney, he gave pretty absolutely. Good minutes.
Kevon Looney gave him important minutes. Like, and I just think having Kevon Looney just makes everybody feel good when he plays like that because they love Kevon so much and they love Buddy so much. Like, yeah, these are two extremely popular players in the locker room. I just think that this is what it is. And again, if a dynasty cannot include it, you know, it might not be a championship. Maybe it will be. But, like, this is what it is. Like, this thing is still going. And we felt that in the first round, game 7 in Sacramento. And, you know, obviously they lose the Lakers. So maybe we change our minds if they lose to the Timberwolves. I don't know. But this is the same feeling. And maybe it's because we're sitting in the same building where we saw them do it in game 7 in 2018. This is what they're old. They're, you know, they had a younger team come taking swipes at them verbally and otherwise. And they held up and they figured it out. They gathered. And then we all saw Kerr and Draymond talking a shoot around. And it was all Kerr talking to him. Draymond was listening. And Draymond said it was one of the most memorable discussions he's ever had. Just like recalibrating. But I think it's because they know each other so much. They've been through so much together. They can do stuff like this. And we don't know how much longer they can do it, but it's still going on. Tonight, it's still going on.
Buddy Hield, like, this wasn't Klay Thompson in Oklahoma City game 6, where Klay hit 11 threes and, you know, basically
they were down.
They were down. Yeah. I mean, that is like, you know, one of the more, you know, famous games really in like the last couple decades of the NBA. But Buddy Hield kind of had like prime Klay Thompson level, like deep late in the series type performance. He went 12 of 15 shooting, 9 of 11 from 3. Dunleavy was telling us post game he saw a stat that this was the most threes ever made in a game 7. 9. Plus 17 in 37 minutes. Wow, you know, I think there was people wondering if he was coming out of the starting lineup, and he ended up
not only 0 for 4.
Well, Steve Kerr said, "Nah,
he's never taking anybody."
To me, that's what makes this different. It's look, if we look at all the stuff you probably would have expected, you know, Steph had 22. It was, you know, he had some
Jimmy played buckets. Like the game you thought
Jimmy
he
was okay. Like, you know, he wasn't. And it wasn't like Jimmy. I mean, I guess Draymond, like, defensively was the one thing you probably said, yeah, if they win, it's me because of that. But Buddy's just out of nowhere. And that's the part that's so different.
How about the first quarter bomb he hit from like 40 feet? It was 20 to 19, and then suddenly 23-19.
He said after his second shot, he was telling me that after his second shot, he was like, okay, I feel good. And they were in a locker room. They were telling him like, but your first one was a layup. And it was hilarious because he apparently has this rivalry with Dylan Brooks. Everybody hates Dylan Brooks, by the way. And he was like, yeah, the layup. He was like, they didn't give me a layup the whole series. And then I think it was Key who was like,
Braxton.
Yeah, Braxton Key is like, yeah, you took that layup. And he's like, I did. Dylan Brooks, I took him off the dribble.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we did a podcast in here the other day. We can go.
Let's just go out to the court. Yeah.
Sorry for the.
I hope you keep that on the podcast.
Yeah, I will.
We got some angry security people, and they lost Game 7, I think.
Well, they're shutting down this arena for good for the season, and you know they would have hosted Game 1 by the way in 2 days in the second round. But Marcus Thompson was talking to us before we were interrupted about Buddy Hield and.
Yeah, so he was talking about he got really hyped when he remembered that his first layup, he drove. He, like, beat Dylan Brooks off the dribble, and he's like, yeah. And they were like, all right, that's your new thing now, buddy. You got to get a layup first. So I asked him, like, was that his, like, the best game of his life? He's like, ask Dylan Brooks. And I was like, that sounds like a college thing. He's like, yes. Well, I think he said Elite Eight. So you go ask Dylan Brooks which one was better. I got him out of the Elite Eight, and I got him out here. He's like, you go ask Dylan Brooks which one was the best. I was like, wow, that's a lot of shade.
Dylan Brooks stewing somewhere right now. Too.
Oh, he is not a happy camper.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, you don't want to, you know, over-dramatize what this was from Buddy Hield, but
he had to have it. I mean, somebody has to make baskets. It's not named Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler, and it wasn't coming from anybody else. And like we talked about the alternatives, Kirk, you know, Moody or Przemski, whoever, like, there's no other really score. I mean, I threw up Kuminga, and Kuminga played, but he obviously.
My guy didn't even get in. Man.
Pat Spencer got robbed. They're saving him for a later round.
Looney! I called Looney.
Yeah. If Buddy Hield scores 22 in any half of a playoff game, they're going to win that playoff game. Like, it's a done deal because we know the other stuff they got. And he played good defense, by the way. He got two block shots, I think.
Good enough.
Or one block shot, at least. Steph had two block shots. They were swarming the ball. They got a good whistle, right? The officials let both sides play, pretty much. It kind of broke their way. If they were going to play their normal Game 7 desperation ball, and that's like when they're at their best. So we've seen this time and again and again. And the only one, well, they've lost with Mark Jackson as a coach. They lost Game 7 to the Clippers, and then they obviously lost Game 7 to the Cavaliers. So other than that, they're pretty damn good in Game 7s.
Buddy Hield making $9 million this year too, and I saw Joe Lacob post game, and you know he was obviously hyping everybody up, including you know Draymond. But I said something about Buddy, and you know, like, how much you pay him this year? And he was like, $9 million. He's like, oh, it was worth it all for just this night.
He earned this $9 million tonight.
I mean, he did.
Oh, he did. Like, Buddy should be free from all slander for a while, right? Yeah. He was funny because I was like, hey, you gonna tell Jimmy like you've earned a break? He's like, Jimmy's not giving me a break. I do think
he doesn't give Jimmy a break. He's harder on Jimmy than Jimmy is on him.
He literally tried to say in his post game, like, oh, I'm going to leave Jimmy alone. And it's a real shot at Jimmy while he's saying it. Like, he can't help himself. But, like, I think the thing that really works for him in a Game 7, I need to find a better word than aloof. Like, he's just, like, he's got this aura about him. Like, he's just not as affected as, you know, others might be. You know, this is the biggest game of his life, and he shot the best of his life in that big game. And that's the part where, in hindsight, I don't think anybody would have predicted
it. He played in the Final Four.
Yeah, he did. He said this was bigger, though. He's like, this was, I don't know. That's why I was like, hey, man, Oklahoma, there was some big games in Oklahoma.
You know where the Final Four was, right?
Don't say it was here.
Houston, Texas. I covered it.
Wow, the dome.
I covered it because I remember I was covering the Thunder at the time. And the Thunder were in Houston for a regular season game. And because I happened to be here, the Oklahomans sent me over to – it was at the Reliant – or, you know, the Texan Stadium. And I'm sorry, that was probably bigger. There was like 90,000 people. Final Four, Villanova, I believe it was the I'm trying to remember. Would that have been like the DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges Villanova team? No, why can't I remember that? It was before that. Yeah. It was before that. But Villanova was really good that year. I think of
Alan Ray. Randy Foy.
Randy, no.
It's not that one.
No, what's the other guy? The guy Steph loves cooking. Raymond Felton is North Carolina. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get
started. All right, sorry.
But Buddy's like, he's got that, like, he's loose enough, he's right? Loose, he's got a loose mentality. He's very carefree. But the other thing is, like, especially with the Fred VanVleet defense that he played, because they were just like, hey, just chase Fred VanVleet off the free throw, off the 3-point line. He's gonna come for the screen, fight over the screen, make sure he feels you. And remember, Buddy prides himself on, I can run all day. I can run all day. They were like, how are you not? They're asking locker room, how are you not tired? How are you not tired? And he's like, I'm not tired. They're like, what do you mean? It's the Caribbean nature in him. Remember earlier in the year, he's telling Jonathan Kuminga, like, you can't out
beat him in a mile, right? Yeah, he said he could beat everybody.
This is what we do. But because he could do that, and if he doesn't have to worry about behind him, just pressure Fred VanVleet. Just pressure him. Just make sure he feels you. He doesn't get them walk-in threes and still hit the shots. He did two things tonight. That's all he had to do, and he did them perfectly.
You know how many three-pointers the Rockets got up tonight?
Not that many. 18? Yeah, less than 20.
18.
Yeah.
Six to 18.
Yeah, six. Like, that's. And how many the Warriors make?
Jalen Green
18 to 43.
Yeah, so
in game two.
Destroyed them in 3 points. I mean, this is Buddy Hield's Warrior moment right here. This is it. This is what people will talk about.
Had a great game three too. Yeah, that should be
good. And played Jalen Green good in that game. But it was interesting. I asked Steve a little bit about that. They switched. They had Curry play Jalen Green, and they had Buddy play VanVleet. I mean, I thought that was very effective. For some reason, the matchup was better. And I think some of it was like they were kind of trying to get Jalen Green to try to take a lot of shots. And they wanted to keep Steph out of foul trouble running around all over the place. And I thought that worked. I thought, like, everything's – how many times did we get to it? The end of the series, Steve Kerr figured stuff out. Like, the stuff he did worked. And it took a while to get to this point. But I think – and Draymond talked about this too. Like, Kerr is calm in this crazy series, right? They get blown out in five. Maybe he was too calm in Clint. Yeah, like he accepted game five. It's like it's always going to inevitable.
Yeah, I will say if they lose this series, yeah. I think yeah. You know, the mindset they took into game
exactly.
five.
Exactly. But guess what? They didn't win, you know, they win this game, and so they win the series. And he blames himself for game six, but he doesn't panic. He's such a long play guy. He's such a we got the guys to win this series if we just figure it out.
This wasn't even a series. He's been long playing Buddy all year. Yeah. Buddy's going to come through at some point for us. He's got to come through.
I remember in Toronto after one of their worst losses of the year. They it's when Steph had the quote about it was near the trade January, deadline. We need to protect the future still. Yeah. We shouldn't mortgage the future. It was that night, and Buddy Hield missed a wide open corner three. Late, and it was right at like kind of the peak of the Buddy Hield, you know, discourse of like, you know, he should even be in the rotation. And Steve did. He had a postgame quote about like, I trust him. I'll have him out there. I want him taking those shots. So you're right. He's probably overplayed Buddy Hield to the point of what most people would have expected.
No question. He's and Steve has done this like so many times where it's a guy where you're like, why are you playing this guy? Then he has a big game and he's like, see, I told you. He's also done it the other way where he rides like Festus Ezeli too long in a particular game six, but he believes in that. Hey, I'm riding with this guy. If I believe in you, well, he believes in it for most of his players.
Yeah, some of them he does a quick hook. But the point with Bud, they don't have another option. Like, they do not. I mean, unless Moses Moody is going to show up and hit five threes in some playoff game, which we have not seen. And no GP2 today. I don't think that was a killer for them. But just. Like, they don't have another shooting option. The way they play now, it has to be Buddy Hield or it's got to be Stephen Butler. Like, there's just not another scoring viable candidate. But he's not there. He hadn't done it in a little while. And, like, they were daring him to shoot again, like, just begging him to shoot because he had Şengün on him.
When's the game he had?
Yeah, 27, but he did not have Şengün on him then.
That was game three, I think. Yeah. The one without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think this means? I mean, I think we all think that they're going to be exhausted for game one against Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, even kind of chatting with Steve a little bit post-game, heading towards game one. I mean, he's basically like, do not expect 40 plus minutes for the main guys in game one. Like, they're going to, I mean, look, they're going to get into Minnesota tomorrow, like probably 4, 5, 6 p.m. They're going to have a meeting to kind of begin to talk about the series. It is an 8:30 tip Tuesday, which weirdly, I think they'll like, because it's extra time. It's an ability to sleep in. And then go have like kind of more of a loungy shoot around, longer shoot around that doesn't feel rushed Tuesday. But that, again, I'm not saying they're going to go full game five in Houston and completely throttle back and, you know, oh, we're down 20. Let's just pull the plug. But
if they're down 9 and it's time for Steph to sit, Steph will be sitting.
Yes, exactly.
You're not playing 43 minutes.
Yeah, and Steph won't be rushed back into the game. And that is a game to widen the rotation and maybe try to get some of the bench guys more of a rhythm that, like, you know, and it was so tough for those bench guys, you know, two possessions tonight. And then, you know, it's a feel-out game too, right? I think they want to see, like, what type of, you know, defense Minnesota throws at them, all that. But, yeah, I think if you're – projecting out, the game two would seem to be the likelier one for the Warriors to go out.
It's every other day, so they don't get much of a break between game one and two. So it's going to be a grind. We got to talk about how Steph was tonight. Like, it was a really incredible Steph Curry game seven, but not for the reasons that it usually are. He was out there fighting for loose balls like crazy. He was going for the loose balls, and I knew he was like, the turnover, get the turnovers. One first bad pass he threw, I think it was the one turnover he had. Man, he tried so hard to go track down that ball in the corner. Now he was like, I am not turning it. He ended up losing it, but the way he went after the ball, he played such a great floor game on both ends of the court.
10 rebounds, led him in rebounds. Right?
He's guarding guys very, you know, he's guarding them well.
I saw him twice during the timeout have to get his right thumb wrap cut off and then retaped by Drew Yoder, because it was like he was putting that thing in the grinder.
He was in the mix. Yeah, that just defensively he was good. He was like flying to the ball. You could tell like he was leading them. It was really weird because I normally don't believe you could just have 5 shots for Steph and he's fine, like, especially with these supporting cast. But I think once he saw Buddy Hield was cooking, he's like, all right,
well, he said, cook like, him, buddy. His whole thing was don't turn the ball over. Right. He wasn't thinking score. He wasn't thinking fit. Sure, it wasn't thinking 50 points. He was thinking don't turn it over. I think they just went over that, over and that, over that, over that. If they don't turn it over, they got a chance to win the game. And they were very good with the ball against an incredible pressure defense. He wasn't trying to throw the ball through a double team. It was a very efficient game for Curry. And then, of course, he closes it. 14 points in the fourth quarter, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And those are killers. Those are just killers when he's hitting those threes. But I tell you, we'll go back to Buddy Hield. By the way, there's a Ray Ritter Elias, 33 points, or the most by a player following a scoreless game in a single postseason in NBA history. Previous was 31. So that's kind of getting a little bit of a bounce back. A little bounce back.
Not bad, right?
not a 0-33. But like this is a team that's going to be. I don't keep pushing it to the future, but like, they're going to be tired. But man, when they can summon this stuff, I mean,
they just need to do it 4 times.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's got 4 times and then try to regroup and do
more
it again.
A lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
But you know, we talk about them, you know, getting beat by the Lakers in that second round series 2 years ago. But they could have won that series. Like we all like, they could have won that series. Bad matchup. I think Minnesota could be a really tricky matchup. But man, this team, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say this team cannot win a series. Oklahoma City would be the one I would say they cannot win. But everybody else in the West, I think they can. It's going to be hard to pick against them.
Steven Adams was such a massive factor in the series tonight, -9, 7 rebounds in 25 minutes. Like, you didn't notice him nearly as much. They rebounded better. They boxed out better.
They got some offensive rebounds, but not nearly as many. Like, the offensive rebound percentage was way down. They shot them out of it a little bit, right? Buddy hitting those threes, you can't really have Steven Adams be the guy next to him. And they just kind of tweaked some things. They figured some things out. Looney helped there. And the scrapping and the scraping was just gigantic. And Steph was swiping at the ball. They all were swiping at the ball. They got a way they can play game sevens. It's just really, really pretty special. I mean, over the span of this thing, it's not the same thing every year, but it's special to see.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Minnesota, what's the first thing you think about when you
Rudy Gobert?
What are you gonna, unlike Houston, Minnesota has a player who could be like, all right, we're not, it's not going so well. Give me the rock. I got it. And that's,
or that they feel they have to like double and like really kind of mix up schemes. Like, this is a superstar scorer. That was the one thing about Houston. They just didn't have a perimeter superstar scorer.
That's why they say, you know what, Steph? You go guard Jalen. Yeah. Like, we're fine. Your defense
remember
is good.
Game one? Yeah. He's like locking them up.
So, yeah, that to me, it's Ant who you know is going to be up because it's the Warriors, right? And, like, how do you deal with Ant? What are the matchups? How does that impact the lineup? Because, like, if they go with tonight, who are you putting on Ant? Like, if you go with the starting lineup that Steve says is clear,
it might be Jimmy Butler.
That's what, yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because Jimmy's so good at doing all the other stuff defensively.
Yep. Yeah, the helping. He's great on bigger. Like, then now you got to deal with Julius Randle. Like, he probably need to be on Julius Randle more than he's.
Yeah, because Draymond got to be on Gobert. Although, like, maybe they put Looney Buddy Hield on Gobert.
Yeah.
No, you know, like, that's
the. Or you put Moody on, you know, whatever.
I bet they go small on Gobert. Yeah. I bet they do. Like, you know, I don't know if Buddy's going
to
start.
A ton of rebounds. We saw what happened when the Lakers go small against it. But, yeah.
But Gobert is not. I know he did it in that one game. But Gobert is not the Steven Adams, like, claw hands that just one hand stabs it.
Definitely is not. But he'll be at the rim. I'm thinking Draymond and Gobert just because of their history. I don't know how that'll play out.
They'll wonder if he'll just put Kevon Looney in there just to avoid it. Like,
start?
Yeah, just put Kevon in there, put him on him.
But then you're facing a really long active defense and you're.
It's going to be hard to score. The thing is, they beat him twice when they're playing terrible. The Warriors beat him twice without Butler. There's some kind of matchup that's okay for them. I'm not sure exactly how they're going
to
do it.
Yeah, Minnesota, the weird thing is, Minnesota, when I went to both those games in Minnesota, they were in such a – like, the Wolves were in such a bad place at the time, but also the Warriors were. You know the game I mentioned earlier, that Toronto game, like maybe the low point of the season? At Minnesota was the next game. They didn't have a power forward. They started Gui Santos because Kuminga was out, Draymond was out, and Kyle Anderson was out. And – they beat him. They went up like 21-1.
The game where Trace like dunked on Rudy, kind of.
I thought that was earlier.
Yeah, I think that was earlier. Also, then the other time they had beat him was they had just gone into Memphis for the Dennis Schroeder debut and lost by like 50. Then they went to Minnesota and beat him. So like they did, they went 3-1 against him this year. Beat him at odd times
without Jimmy. None of them had Jimmy in it, right? No. This is all pre-Jimmy. So,
but Minnesota completely turned it on over the last like month and a half.
Minnesota's got stuff that's going to really bother the Warriors. You're right. And the Anthony Edwards part of it is a huge part of it. Although, what was he, 0 for 10 in the fourth quarter in their clincher? Like, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, like, you don't know.
McDaniels gets the Steph assignment?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And they got other guys, right? They got Nikhil Alexander Walker, Walker Alexander. Nah, right. And Nikhil Alexander Walker. They got guys. They got guys, obviously, to get to the middle. Nas Reed, a guy who really kills the Warriors. Like, they got a lot
of deeper.
Yeah, they got a lot of different pieces. Going to be a very different kind of matchup. Warriors are going to be exhausted. But they're going to have to get one of the first two. Like, so it's probably going to have to get game two. And then we'll see how it plays out from there. But, man, this team's just, you can't write them off. Cannot write them off at anything. And they figure stuff out. I've said that like four times now.
Yeah, the my thing to watch heading into the series is part of what I'm writing today because, you know, obviously a lot of the storylines coming out was about Draymond's poise and his, you know, his turnaround from game six. Well, he's going to need a lot more of it because he not only is heading towards Rudy Gobert territory, Minnesota, the junk talking that's going to be happening in that series, but he now has four technicals and two flagrant points after one round. Seven technicals gets you a one-game suspension. Four flagrant points gets you a one-game suspension. He's over halfway there on technicals, and he is halfway there and on flagrants.
And he's going against a guy he absolutely triggers him, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we've clearly seen, like, their defense is just not the same without him. Like, when he's locked in, he's a difference maker on defense. So, I don't know. After that, it's like then it's every other one, right? Get you a suspension, you know, the count doesn't start over. Otherwise, I'd be like, man, let's just go ahead and get out the way.
Steve, I talked to Steve about it, and he kind of did make that joke. But the problem is, you know, okay, we'll just get it, but you got suspended the next game. It's not like, hey, you get it in the first quarter, you're just gone the rest of the game.
It keeps going.
Yeah, and that'll be in the spotlight. That is 100. That's going to be a big part of
it. That would be something if, like, it's game four and Draymond suspended, you know, for game five and they're down, you know, 3-1. And,
well, the other problem, like, you know, we'll see how long this goes. He could theoretically, you know, stay away from those numbers in this series, but, you know, if they would theoretically win the series, we're talking about, I'm not saying they're going on a title run,
but the fact that another championship, all I'm saying is
they're through one round and he's at four tees and two
flagrant points. He almost got another flagrant point. You could easily go to get on a flagrant for that. You give him a tech instead, right?
Which, by the way, I don't know what you want at this point. The thing is, he's balancing both.
They wanted the one free throw this time.
Yeah. The tech was actually better for them, thanks to Tony Brothers. But I'll just say, you know, a lot of talk over the years, is Draymond worth it? Shouldn't you have traded him? Couldn't you have traded him? What is, you know, you punch Jordan Poole, all these things we know. And someone told me going into the playoffs, like, we picked Draymond over a lot of different people currently who are on the team or who they could have got from another team. There are no regrets over Draymond Green. And we saw why. We always see why. We saw why for sure tonight. They cannot do this without Draymond Green.
As the arena is getting piled up, I am not going to rope us into a Jonathan Kuminga conversation. Obviously, it was seven not great minutes from him tonight. We talked about it on the last podcast. They were probably going to throw him in. It was probably going to be unfair to him. He probably wasn't necessarily going to perform, and he didn't. I'm curious to see if they, you know, especially in a game one that's not as amped up. I wonder just in general what their game one rotation looks like and the answers they try to find as they look into this next series. But we will talk to y'all from Minnesota Tuesday night. 8:30 tip, 6:30 local. Should be a good series.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.